Who's ready to get into the Word of God this morning? Amen. Hey, I hope that that's that clapping. I hope that that is a sincere, we're ready to hear from the Lord. We're ready to dive in, draw closer, and learn more from Him. And this morning, we're introducing a two-week series. It's called The Crowned and Conquering King. Without that, where do we stand today? Hopeless. Hopeless. And so today I want to say the King is coming. The King is coming. And if you have your Bible this morning, would you open it, find your place to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. If you don't have your Bible, lucky for you, it'll be on the overhead. But we're going to do something a little bit different. I want you to stand to your feet this morning when you find your spot to Matthew chapter 21. You do not have to read along with it out loud, but I want you to, we're going to stand in observation this morning to the Word of God. So when you find your place to the Scripture, Matthew chapter 21, would you please stand to your feet? Let's read, shall we? Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and He will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and He sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees. What kind of trees? Palm trees. That's why we associate palm trees with Palm Sunday. And spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before Him and that followed Him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Church, you may be seated this morning. Imagine with me, if you will, Spring Festival. We're going back to calling it what now? The what? The Rose? The Rose Festival. Okay. Listen, I'm not old enough of a New Sharonite to know. I just have always heard New Sharon Spring Festival, and now it's back to the Rose Festival. So, very cool. Yes. I just don't know the name. Rose Festival. So imagine with me, we always have a parade, don't we? There's always a parade associated with Rose Festival here in New Sharon. And you can expect that everybody brings their kids and their Walmart bags ready to receive 15 pounds of candy each. People line the streets. Kids are excited. They're cheering. And candy is quite literally flying everywhere. It's like dust in the air, okay? We do a very good job of throwing candy out. Now, that's quite a crowd, isn't it? Let's imagine something else. Let's imagine a presidential visit. The crowds, the excitement, the protest, right? Because that's always associated with it. But it's about the sheer number of people that it brings out. Do you know that on Palm Sunday, Jesus drew Himself a crowd as He rode into Jerusalem? We just read it. And the crowd shouted, "Hosanna!" But what they didn't understand was the kind of king He was coming as. What kind of king do you expect Jesus to be? What kind of king is He in your life? Our first point this morning is a humble king. Matthew 21, verse 5, it says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Do you know that a lot of assumptions were made about Jesus and what his intentions were when he was riding in to Jerusalem? It's no doubt that he certainly brought in a crowd. He drew attention by coming in the way that he was. And the people were excited, they were cheering, and there was commotion everywhere. More so than what our worship was this morning. But I'm telling you, I could have stayed in worship for another 25 minutes this morning. But people, there was commotion everywhere. But however, do kings ride donkeys? No, it's unheard of, isn't it? Back then, kings didn't ride donkeys. They rode horses. Why? They rode horses for a show of power, for prestige, in times of war. And Jesus rode a donkey for peace. The people of Jerusalem thought he was coming in to overthrow the Roman government and to reinstill Jerusalem as the leading nation. But Jesus came to promote peace. There's more. Jesus wasn't there to be crowned king. He wasn't even there to take over the Roman government. He was there to take away sin. For someone who is expected to overthrow the government, you certainly don't expect them to show up on a donkey. It's not much of a threat when you're adversary, if you will, comes riding in on a donkey. Right? Picture a warrior coming home from war. Victory fresh on their mind, riding home to receive the victor's welcome. We've all seen the movies and how they think things looked and the way it was celebrated when they come back from war. They always ride magnificent horses. And because why? It was what was expected. It was the standard, if you will. But it was totally unexpected compared to what Jesus did. And what Jesus did, he was a humble man riding a humble donkey. The people of Jerusalem, they wanted a king who would serve their agenda. And their agenda was to overthrow the Roman government because they had power over them. They wanted Jesus to come and to fix all their problems, free them from the rule of Rome, make their life easier, and to bring them prosperity. They shouted, "Hosanna," which in Hebrew, by the way, in the Greek, when you look at that, here's what it means. It means, "Save us, we pray," or "Save us now." So that was part of our reading this morning, wasn't it? We said, "Save us, Hosanna." But what it really meant, what they really meant, was "save us on our terms." Save us on our terms. See, some, they want Jesus as a king of convenience. But instead, Jesus came as a king of surrender. What Jesus was doing is he was there to establish God's kingdom, not theirs. He was there to set up a kingdom that now we know about, but he was coming to set up the new covenant, which was direct access to the Lord because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He was coming to set up a kingdom that we could not even understand. Not there, he's going to sit on a throne and he's going to rule and he's going to... See, they wanted the here and now. They didn't know what he was bringing for the future. Because his mission was clear. It was not to overthrow the Roman government. It was to crush sin and death. And we sit on this side of history and we can say amen because we know that that has taken place. Listen, what you need to understand is Jesus may not always arrive the way we expect. He may not work in your life the way that you want him to. Can anybody testify to that? He may not, but he always comes with what we need most. He knows best. He knows better than we do. So if you're waiting for Jesus to fix your situation, I would like to submit to you, could it be that he's more focused on the transformation of your heart not your situation. See, the crowd's attitude, it very quickly changed when they realized that Jesus wasn't giving them what they expected. The cheers this Sunday became the shouts of condemnation on Friday, which brings us to our second point. Hosanna or crucify. Matthew chapter 27, verses 22 through 23. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Are you ready for a group activity? Get out your palm leaves. We're going to do a group activity, and what I need for you to do is to, everyone knows copycat, right? You're going to copy me. You're going to match my tone, my demeanor. You're just going to try to match everything I do. Can we do that? So if you want to stand to your feet, you can. Go ahead. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hosanna or crucify. So I say, Hosanna! 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 Hosanna to God the highest! Hosanna! Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Did you feel that switch? There was a tone change. There was an attitude change that just took place. The same people that were shouting Hosanna were the same people that said, "Crucify him." You can be seated. So one moment it was praise. It was excitement. It was anticipation for what Jesus was coming to do. The next, condemnation. Crucify him. He didn't do what I wanted him to. Kill him. Put him to death. He didn't meet my expectations. He didn't do what I expected him to do. Kill him. What changed? The only thing that changed is because they wanted a king who would sit on a throne and rule right now. But Jesus was coming to give them something far better. And that started with the cross. When we were on our cruise, there was a night. If you've ever been on a cruise, you know that you can eat as much as you want, when you want, how you want. It really takes the Burger King's logo of make it your way, isn't that? Or have it your way. Is that Burger King? I think I've eaten there twice, so I'm surprised I know that. But it literally takes the phrase have it your way to a whole new meaning, okay? So one night, we're in the main dining hall, and I don't even remember what night it was. It might have been the French cuisine night. And Alicia wanted the entree of one meal on the menu, but she wanted the sides from another meal on the menu. And if you've ever been on a cruise, they have a lot of foreign nationals, people that they bring in from all the different countries. Their name tags all say what country they're from. Amazing people. But it's hard to communicate with them sometimes. It's easy to point at the menu and they know that's what you want. But Alicia wanted different sides with a different entree. And would you know that it took a couple of times of trying to explain it to them before the waiter said, "Oh, of course, of course, of course, yes, yes, we can do that, we can do that." And so we're sitting there, we're waiting for our food, and as the food comes to our table, would you know that he brought the wrong entree with the wrong sides to her? There's a moment of disappointment because that's not what she wanted to eat. But within 10 seconds, guess what? He's coming from around the table, and he has another entree and sides that he gave to her because he had no idea what she actually was asking. So they just literally took the entrees and switched them, and he brought both for good measure to make sure she got what she wanted. Okay? It's funny because on a cruise, you can eat whatever you want, however much you want. There is no stipulation on being miserable slob the whole time. time because you're eating too much, okay? But imagine that same scenario in a restaurant. It doesn't go well, does it? Because now you're either paying for a meal that you don't want, you're sticking with the first one, or they've brought you two entrees, two different sides on those entrees, and now your bill gets quite expensive, right? So I think we can all understand it's easy to imagine getting the wrong thing that you ordered at a restaurant. In fact, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Alicia's on a train trip with her girls of the family, and so it's me and the boys home, and I was going to smoke a chuck roast. Well, it didn't unfreeze fast enough. So I made an audible. I called Casey's, and I said, hey, I'll take two pizzas. It's a great audible. I thought that I ordered for myself a sausage breakfast pizza. Do you know what I ordered? A sausage pizza with extra cheese. And when I opened it, I was like, this is not at all what I ordered. I jumped on the phone to call Casey's, and while the phone's ringing, I'm looking at my order. Guess what I ordered? A sausage pizza with extra cheese. There was nothing breakfast about it. And so that disappointment landed solely on myself, right? But it's easy for us to understand the frustration behind getting the wrong thing. Would you know that this is similar in concept to what happened to the crowd and to Jesus? The crowd thought Jesus came to overthrow Rome, not sin. So they went from Hosanna to crucify him. It's easy. It's easy to praise Jesus when things are going our way, isn't it? What happens when it gets hard? What happens when we face trial? What happens when a situation goes south in our life? Is it still as easy to praise him in the darkest of our storms? Or is it just a little bit easier when things are going really good? Here's what we know. True faith sticks with him, and the path leads to the cross. So do you still trust him when the answer isn't what you hoped for? Do you still pursue him when the answer isn't what you expected? Our third and final point today. Your voice, your choice. That's catchy, isn't it? Your voice, your choice. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. He said, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? What is your answer to that question? What is it that you will declare? Who is it that you say that Jesus is? See, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it wasn't just about what the crowd shouted. We have historical, it's written, we know that it took place. But do you know that it's also about what we declare today? Is he not the same Jesus today as he was on Palm Sunday? So what will we declare today? Do you know that the world is still seeking and searching for an answer for that question? It is written on every person's heart, the search for right and wrong. And there's an emptiness that will stay with them until they submit to the Lord Jesus. That has been evident in my life, and I know many of you can testify to the same thing. We simply cannot be complete apart from our Maker. That's why people will spend their life chasing all the wrong things, trying to find fulfillment. But that world is still searching for that answer to that question. They're asking the same question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Every day, believe it or not, our lives will declare something about Jesus. How we respond, how we, maybe it's as simple as, does anybody else let their face do more talking than sometimes they do? It declares something about Jesus in your life. A snarled remark reveals something about Jesus in your life. And I'm not standing up here saying that I'm perfect. I mess up. I'm right there with Paul saying I'm the chief of sinners. I mess up. But what does your life say about Jesus? What does it declare? Now, some Christians, and I pray nobody in here, but some Christians, guess what? They will stay silent. They will stay silent. They won't declare anything about Jesus. Some will shout only when it's easy, because don't we know it's easier to praise when things are going good? Isn't it hard to dig that deep, meaningful praise when you're walking through the hardest thing in your life? But the faithful Christians will declare Him as King no matter what. Here's the reality. If we truly believe that Jesus is King, it changes how we live, it changes how we worship, and it changes how we serve. Your daily choices determine and declare who Jesus is to you, whether or not you ever say it out loud. It is quite literally your voice, your choice. Stacy, if you want to make your way up here, please. Does your life reflect surrender to the King? Does it reflect understanding who He is? Or does it reveal that you're still holding on to the crown? The same crown that we crowned Jesus with, are we holding that because we want to be in control of our own life? We want to be in control of our own future. We don't want Jesus to give us direction on this because I have my heart set on this, or I intend to do this, or I want to marry this person, or I want to... Listen, Jesus tells us to count it all as loss, to serve and to pursue Him. So are we willing to lay it down before Him in order to surrender fully? Here at Engage Church, we're not just here to make noise. I promise you, last Sunday, I was walking down the sidewalk during worship practice, and they were just jamming. I could hear it out there. It wasn't loud. Today was loud. And I promise anybody walking by the church during worship, they heard us plain as day. And I love that, because we're not just here to make noise and to shout during Sunday service. We're here to live it out every single day. Amen. The same praise and worship we had in here together today, guess what? That can take place out there. It should take place out there. Our mission is very clear. Vicki, just in case you forgot, it's engaging our community for Jesus. And I hope that that is written on every one of your hearts and minds when it comes to this church. Because everything we do, everything we want to do, how we want to represent ourselves, is to engage our community for Jesus. Engage the lost for Jesus. To do the Great Commission, which means that we go and we make disciples and we change people's lives for the kingdom of God. Engaging our community for Jesus doesn't just mean we do a free sale. It doesn't mean that we do a convoy shipment and we distribute goods. The greatest thing that we can give them is Jesus. Period. That doesn't mean we don't meet their needs that they have. But if we truly want to take it to the basic level, who are you engaging in our community for Jesus? That means that we don't just worship within these four walls, but instead it means that we take the message of Christ Jesus outside of these walls. This week, as you take your invite card, take it to your neighbor. Take it to the school. Invite your friends. Invite your families. Engage your community for Jesus by telling them the hope that you have in Jesus. How has Jesus changed your life? You take that and you tell them that Jesus can do the same thing for them. Jesus didn't just come to be admired on a Sunday. He came to be King over our whole lives. The question today isn't whether He's worthy. The question is will you truly follow a worthy King? If you would you stand to your feet this morning? If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want everybody to have a chance to respond here this morning. The crowd had a choice. as Jesus was going in and as Jesus was put on trial, the crowd had a choice. They could either crown Him or reject Him. Today, the same choice is before each and every one of us. What will you do with Jesus? Do you know that silence is a choice? Indecision is a choice. But only one choice today leads to life. Maybe you've stood in the crowd. You've been in the crowd. You've been watching. You've been waiting. You're undecided. Maybe this morning you shouted, "Hosanna, because I made you." But you shouted Hosanna before, but you never truly were surrendered. Maybe today, for the very first time, you're ready to say, "Jesus, you are my crowned and conquering King." The good news is, here's the good news, you ready? The same Jesus who entered Jerusalem on a donkey went to the cross for you. The same Jesus who was rejected by the crowd now welcomes you with open arms. The same Jesus who died will rise again next Sunday, and He's the one calling you to a new life today. So if you're ready to stop standing in the crowd, if you're ready to start following and surrender to Jesus as King of your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just take this moment, make this moment count. Don't wait. If you want to respond to that and ask Jesus into your life, would you just raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Church, we're gonna pray together. Just encourage you to pray after what I say. And I just want to be clear for those who raise their hand. It's not about the words. These words are meaningless. It's about the position of your heart. So pray this prayer with a heart that is laying prostrate before the Lord, saying, "Jesus, I give it all to You. I want more of You in my life. Dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I invite You into my life as King. I surrender every aspect of my life to You. Come in and make me new. I dedicate myself to You forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen." Amen and amen. Church, I like to just give a report every Sunday whenever somebody responds, because guess what? The angels in heaven are now currently celebrating your decision. And I would just submit to you that one person this morning said, "I want to make Jesus King of my life." And that is worthy of a celebration every time. And I say, bless you for responding. As we get ready to wrap things up today, I want to talk to the fellow believers in here. If you're a believer, I want to ask you, have you let your worship get quiet? Have you let your worship get quiet? Maybe you've lived like Jesus is just a good teacher instead of a good king. Maybe you've submitted to Him as the prophet, but not King of your life. Today is the day, because Sunday's coming. Come on. Today is the day to boldly declare that you will follow Him with everything. Today is the day, if you're ready to declare Jesus as King in every area of your life, not just the things that you're willing to let go of. Listen, He wants the darkest and dirtiest parts of you, because He can make it clean like that. He wants all of you. He wants every part of you. So would you, in response this morning, would you boldly step out? Would you come forward? This, right now, this is your moment to say, "Jesus, I am all in." As the worship team leads, can we raise our voices in thunderous worship? All hail King Jesus.